This is the 4th of July weekend, and this is taken from a movie based on John Adams, and I wanted us to talk about God taking us to another level of prayer in the foundation of our country. But go ahead, and I have a scripture I want to ask Ed to read, and then we'll get right into it. Go ahead, Ed. It's on the back of your notes, sir.
Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working.
And that's James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. I want to jump right in. You say, how in the world are these two things going to work together? Well, let's go ahead and see. Prayer, we're going to speak on this today, prayer making and keeping God central. And the point of prayer is to make and keep God central in our lives and thereby keeping our hearts in their true orbit around Him. How many of you could imagine what it would be like if the moon got out of orbit? Well, you know, the high tides and the low tides are all based on the moon, right? If the moon got out of orbit, there would be major disaster all over the planet. And so, just as the moon is in orbit, so our lives are to orbit around Jesus Christ, just like our Earth orbits around the sun. How many of you know when your life gets out of orbit, it's a disaster usually? So making and keeping Jesus and the Lord central to our lives is the key to what prayer is all about. The Lord's Prayer reveals that making and keeping God central is established before we ask for even our daily needs to be met. Watch this. This is, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All that's first. Is that focusing on God or you? Right. It's focusing on Him first. So Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. And He starts off focusing right on the Father. Father, thy kingdom, hallowed be your name. Focusing on Him first. Not coming with a list of needs first. Coming with praise to Him and honor to Him and hallowing Him. And then declaring His will be done. His kingdom be coming, right? Then we go to, now does He know we have needs? Yes. Then He says, now, give us this day our daily bread. And so let's look at this next slide. Making and keeping God central was the key in the founding of our nation. It was 1 year and 10 months before the signing of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th, 1776, that there was a prayer meeting. Now there's several slides, just follow along with me. On September 7th, 1774, the Continental Congress held its first official meeting at Carpenter's Hall in Philadelphia. Their first official act was prayer. And it wasn't a perfunctory prayer that was nothing more than protocol. It was a good old-fashioned prayer meeting. Our founding fathers prayed with fervency and intensity. Eyewitnesses heard them interceding several blocks away. Come on, guys. Eyewitnesses said that Henry, Randolph, Rutledge, Lee, and Jay were doubled over as they were bowed in the reverence before God. John Adams later recounted that it has had an excellent effect on everybody here. And not surprisingly, General George Washington ended up on his knees. These revolutionaries knew their cause was doomed to fail without divine intervention. They prayed like it depended on God because they knew it did. The pastor who led them in prayer that morning was Dr. Jacob Deutsch. And the scripture he turned to, Psalm 35. You know what it starts off? It says, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Isn't that a great start? He prayed that just as the Lord contended for David, God would contend for their cause if it were a righteous one. Dr. Deutsch's prayer is a piece of our history and our destiny as a nation. Listen to how he led them in prayer that day. Lord, this is a part of his prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty, King of kings and Lord of lords, who dost from thy throne behold all dwellers on the earth and reignest with power supreme, and uncontrolled over all kingdoms, empires, and governments. Look down in mercy, we beseech thee, on these our American states, who have fled to thee from the rod of the oppressor and thrown themselves on thy gracious protection, desiring to be henceforth dependent only on thee. Be thou present, O God of wisdom, and direct the counsels of the honorable assembly. Shower down on them and the millions they represent here such temporal blessings as thou seest expedient for them in this world, and crown them with everlasting glory in the world to come. All this we ask in the name and through the merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son and our Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, guys, our prayers don't have expiration dates. That's why I believe this prayer is still being answered 242 years later. It's a part of our genealogy as Americans, and this was a Genesis prayer. 1 year, 10 months before the Declaration of Independence was signed, this was the prayer meeting that launched. Can you see? Crying out to God, our founding fathers, the Spirit of God moving intensely on their hearts, turning to the Scripture, asking for His help and His grace. Key to the foundation of what happened here. I just want to praise the Lord for a moment. Let's do it. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praying in the name of Jesus according to His name and His merits. It was the very first prayer uttered at the start of the Revolution. It was a prayer for every American henceforth, and is still being answered. There's no other explanation for the improbability of America. God contended for our cause. This is our history. This is our destiny. Like every other nation's history, ours is dotted with grievous sins. You agree that, right? But the only explanation for the blessings we've experienced is the favor of God. If you're on God's side, then God is on your side. Fight. God will fight for you as you fight for Him. So I want to now stay with this, keeping with this, realizing that they kept God central in the founding of the nation, right? Let's talk about making and keeping God central in our lives. Ed just read our scripture. Let's go ahead and put that up. Read this with me again. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Next. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Go ahead to the next slide. These are four fundamental ways. How many of you have gone through one of these before? To pray when you're suffering, to pray when you're cheerful, to pray when you're sick, to pray when you've sinned. I've been in every category. Have you? Next slide. So the goal of prayer, our prayer, is to help us live Christ-centered lives instead of self-centered lives. A life no matter where what we're going through, no matter what we're facing, and no matter what we've done. So let's look at our first fill in the blank. To make and keep God central, pray when you are suffering. Pray when you are suffering. It says, is anyone suffering, let him pray. Now the word suffering here, it's really used very frequently for the hardships of military service. Isn't that something? It means to endure evils, to endure hardships or struggles and troubles. Now most people, when suffering, most people complain to somebody, don't they? When you're suffering, is it your first thing, I think I'm going to pray? No, it's complain time, right? Typically. I don't like what's going on, blah, 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 blah. But we're advised right here in the Scriptures to turn our suffering into prayer. Psalm 142, verse 2. Read this with me. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare before Him my trouble. How many of you, is that up there? Let's see again. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare before Him my trouble. Let's just let that sink in just for a minute. Because everybody's going through something sometime or another. And if you can capture the wisdom that James is instilling here, it's really to, when you're going through a tough thing, now it's very good to have encouragement from people. But how many of you know that the Lord would like to just reel you in from all the complaining? Because complaining itself has a way to snowball on you and to turn more negative words into more negative circumstances and to add to it until finally it's just an avalanche of trouble on your life, because it just adds more and more to the sense of heaviness about what's going wrong. But when you turn out to Him and let the anguish of your heart be expressed to God, we're taught here in Psalm 142 to turn our supplication to Him and to pour out our complaint and to give it to Him. How many of you have gone through some real struggles? Just one or two of you? I see some like, right. And what happens there? It's easy to begin going from, like in the Bible, doctor to doctor to doctor, lady with the issue of blood, or going, trying to go somewhere else, right? But we come to the Lord. Hannah did that. Hannah had an unmet need in her life. She wanted to have a child. And she turned her suffering into prayer and went into the house of the Lord and cried out in prayer. And God answered and gave the prophet to the nation. Isn't that something? God will take the desperate cry of your heart, the deepest needs that you have, and turn them into something greater than you can imagine. Not just alleviating your pain, but doing something greater. Sometimes the suffering is for a purpose. Are you there? We can hasten on here. I like the next one. Number two, make and keep God central. Sing psalms to God when you are cheerful. Psalm 116. By the way, it's funny. The word sing here is just the word twang or to pluck. I thought that was funny. Because it's just as you feel good, play your guitar and sing. Get to pluck it. Psalm 116. Love the Lord. Here's an example of this. I love the Lord. See, this is when you're feeling good. This is when you're cheerful. I love the Lord because He's heard my voice and my supplications, because He's inclined His ear to me. Therefore, I'll call on Him as long as I live. I'm feeling good. The pains of death surrounded me. The pangs of Sheol had laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow, and then I called on the name of the Lord. And Lord, I implore you to deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord. How many of you think back to times when He's really done one wonderful thing for you? I have to really work at this personally, because when I hit a new thing that I got to go through, it's a real habit to learn to say, go back and say, God already did this for you before. Remember, God already took care of this kind of thing. Remember. Do you remember how good God was to you? How many of you realize, I need a button I can push in my brain to start recalling all the testimonies of His goodness so I can rise up in faith again? This Psalm 16, there's other psalms that are just delight, where you just delight in the Lord. Now, I got to hustle on here. Let's go ahead, number three. Number three, ask elders to pray for you when you are sick. Making and keeping God central. The idea is that when things are going good, keep God central. Sing praise. When things are going bad, pray to Him. Keep God central. Keep Him in the forefront of your heart. When you're sick, now this is implying, this takes into account this, when you're sick, ask for the elders to come and pray for you when you're sick. This takes into account that a person's too sick to pray for himself or herself, because in the midst of the sickness, they may be fatigued in the battle, or just, you know, how many of you get, if you're sick, your faith goes really low. And so the protocol here is to call for elders, which means mature, faithful believers in Christ, and they'll pray over the sick person. There's two things we're directed here. Number one is anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. And anointing with oil is taken right out of Jesus' ministry. I think I have a slide on this. Mark 6, 12 through 13. So they went out and proclaimed. This is the 12. When Jesus took the 12 and they told him to go out and preach the gospel, it says they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons. And look at this. They anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. So right from Jesus' ministry, we have this idea. Let's anoint the sick with oil. And then it says, pray the prayer of faith. And that's why there's a lot to this. But somebody who's mature, been around for a while, can stand there and pray and receive a sense of growing faith in their spirit. And as it grows, the person who's sick begins to receive this assurance that this is answered. I got many stories on this. I don't have time to tell them because we're going to have our communion time. I love this subject because God knows how to put something in you when you have need. When you don't have it, He knows how to take. But listen, This is the feebleness of our culture, and many probably sitting right here. When you're sick, you just do number one. You pray on your own. How many of you need to be exhorted? Call for the elders. You could cut off a whole lot more. And we're in here, you say, man, I'm not feeling good or whatever, and just come in, or we'll go to your home, anoint you with oil, and spend time laboring in prayer to see that imparted. Are you there? And it goes on. There's a blend in this last one because it says, well, let's just read it first. This is the last fill in the blank. Make and keep God central. Confess the burden of your sin to a mature godly person and receive prayer to be healed when you've sinned. Now, they're adding this point right there under the category of sickness. James seems to add to this the sin aspect that can be a potential reason for the presence of sickness in the life of a believer. Isn't that right? Sometimes sin opens the door for sickness. Medical journals report that about 80% of sickness in hospitals is from heart issues like bitterness. Are you there? Not forgiving people when you're hurt. And so he puts in this, there's this if is added in there for the ministry of success against sickness. Because sometimes it's the bitterness of heart that causes the breakdown of your immune system. And you need to confess the sin, confess the things before God. It says if he has committed sins, so they'll be forgiven. Therefore confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. And this also falls into the line where Jesus is preaching for people to repent. How many of you know sin is really just really simply an illegitimate way to meet a legitimate need? You're trying to figure it out, and you do something wrong. You open a door somewhere, do something dumb, get off track, and you sit down with somebody who's loving and caring, and you open up your heart, and you share this thing. I remember one time, a friend of mine was talking. We were at a place of prayer. There was a kind of an altar thing going on. And I had a dear friend who was more skilled in ministering in prayer than the other person. And the other person had fallen in sexual sin. And the person that was leading in prayer said, pray this prayer with me. He said, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I repent. For fornicating. And my other friend said, for sleeping with. And the first friend said, no, let's use the Bible term. Let's don't use the world term. Let's use the Bible term. For, and all the weight of the sin began to come out. For fornicating. Because Bible terms bring conviction. Sleeping with. That's like you're camping out. Fornicating. Something happened. A crack, a fissure. A spirit of darkness has entered a soul because of a violation of sexual order. Opening doors. And there are many, many folks that walk with all kinds of anxieties, all kinds of hurts and pains, simply because they've done something in darkness that has wounded them. And they carry the shame of that and don't know what's really going on until they come to a place of bringing it into the light before the Lord and allowing His healing love. See, there is no shame in Christ Jesus. He says there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. How many of you know Jesus didn't just forgive one of your surface sins? He forgave all the deep, dark, iniquitous stuff that's passed down from generation to generation. It's all of it that He takes and brings out. He breaks the power of every wicked thing to rule over the heart of men. He's not a lightweight when it comes to liberty. And you can't get freedom hiding in the dark. You only get it by bringing it into the light. Are you there? Let's have those that are preparing to serve communion come on up. I would like to invite you to tell you what, I'll just go ahead and read it. I think it might be up here on the slide. Psalm 32, as they're handing out the elements, we'll just walk through this. First, I want to invite you, if you're visiting with us, What we do is we serve everyone together at the same time, and we hold on to the, first of all, it'd be the bread, but it's a little matzah cracker. And so just take a piece of that and hang on to it, and in a moment we'll partake together. You want to say something? Yeah, go ahead, babe. I'm going to have the scripture read in a minute.
I don't know if this is on. When you were speaking, you used a word to violate, and let's say, sexual protocol. Did you say that? Or something like that.
Order.
Order, thank you. It was sexual order. That's even better. Okay. God's not a prude that has a bunch of rules in a book that he wants to, you know, make your life miserable, like don't do this, don't do that, don't do the other. Sexual order is one thing. God created life with order. How many of you young people know, I used to fly for American Airlines. Yeah, I did, when I was very young, in my 20s. And I was first lady on board 747s and DC-10s, and my captains flew these enormous airplanes, and they used manuals. They had a manual. They didn't just fly by the seat of their pants. They had manuals, suitcases full of manuals. And every time I'd go in the cockpit, they had their manuals open. And they were moving the instruments and flying the airplane by and recurring and remembering and refreshing in their manuals. Now, they obviously knew how to fly the plane without the manual, because I saw them flying it without it in their laps. But when they were on autopilot, they were rehearsing and remembering and viewing and studying their manuals. And they flew the airplane according to how the airplane was designed and how it was written in the manual. So I'm speaking to young people, but all of us, if we decide at any point in time that we're going to fly our lives by our own set of rules and violate the code of order or protocol that's designed in the manual, this manual right here, guess what? Eventually you're going to burn, crash, and burn. I'm sorry. It's just the way it was designed. The DC-10 and 747 were not aerobatic airplanes. They're not designed to be flown upside down, loved one. And when you violate how God lovingly put in here the design and how it works, and sexual things is just one way, don't do it until you're married. Because it's going to hurt, or it's going to, at least it'll hurt, and at worst, it'll destroy you with disease. It's not about making your life like you can't have any fun. The God of the universe is the most wonderful, joyful, fun, loving, kind, caring that you can ever imagine. But you got to live by the manual. It's how it was designed. This is how you were designed, and I was designed. So I'm impassioned about this, especially loved ones that are young. We're not here saying, aw, sin, don't go sin. Don't sin because it'll ruin your life. And when you do, but you can still go to him and he'll forgive you and he'll set you straight and say, let's do it again. And we're here to love you and say, if you screw up, come confess your sins to someone and we'll keep it confidential and we'll love you through it and get you on your feet. And he says, and if you resist the devil when he comes and he lies to you, the devil has to flee. But you're going to have to resist. You can't just throw open all the doors of caution. And as Pastor takes us into communion, the most powerful weapon on the planet is this piece of cracker right here, taken in faith, and the blood of Jesus, which we'll take as a communion to forgive you of all of your sins and let you start fresh and new, no matter what it is or what it has been. You know, our wonderful Catholic friends have it right. They do it every Sunday. They get a new start every week. We only do it once a month. But you can do it at home at your dinner table. Say, Lord, forgive me. I don't know what I did this week, but I'm sure I did something, you know, that wasn't in line with the protocol. Will you forgive me, Lord? So sorry, honey, I didn't mean to go off, but
very good. Listen,
amen.
Guys.
Amen.
Let's lift it up before the Lord, because this represents wholeness for any place you're broken. And whenever there's a willful or unwilling failure, the Lord says, I want to come and heal what got cracked up in your life. And this is what this is about. It's releasing the healing. Jesus said, this is my covenant of the New Testament, and I'm giving you my body as an exchange for the failure in your body. I'm going to give you my wholeness for your brokenness. Let's just praise him just for a moment. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name. Lord, every place that has just misfired and gone wrong, we're going to add, even, Lord, in the realm of our mouth, the Lord just showed me, he's going to touch your tongue. There's some of you have just spoken vile things, and the Lord's saying, I want to heal your tongue. I want to take death out of your mouth. I want to put life into your mouth. And as the cracker goes on your tongue, just expect the Lord to give you the experience of a pure language, a pure tongue, a pure ability to speak without always being a complainer, always being doing something that violates him. So let's receive this together. Let's partake it together. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's go ahead and receive the cup. The cup is about the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. The cup is all about the empowerment to be forgiven and then to give us the power to forgive. Let's just enter into a kind of a worshipful moment here. Praise you, Lord Jesus. There are moments in our struggle when we've asked God for something and we don't get it. Some longing that you've had. But I'm here to tell you that He takes everything that's bad and He turns it for good when you offer it to Him. Listen very carefully. God answers the prayer you would have prayed had you known what He knew. God answers the prayer you would have prayed if you knew what He knew about your situation. Somebody praise the Lord right now. We have a limited perspective. Sometimes in the smallness of our soul, we feel like if we withhold forgiveness, we're punishing a person. Oh no. The only person being punished is your own heart. But Jesus comes and says, I want to give you the liberty you want, and I want to give divine justice. But you must come to me because I know something you don't know. And I know how to resolve all the issues of your life. And it's in this cup. Let's praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. 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 For the blood of Jesus washes away all of our sins, washes away all of our faults and failures, cleanses us to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Let's lift a cup and say, thank you, Lord. I choose to be a forgiving person, to receive forgiveness and to give it. Amen. Let's partake. Praise you, Lord. Let it rain, let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Sing together. Let it rain, let it rain. Oh, open the floodgates of heaven. Let's stand together. We lift our hearts to you. We say, let the rain of your grace come pouring in on every heart. Let the empowerment of your spirit overtake us. I pray for the weak in will right now that have been struggling, that you would give a new sense of empowerment today to say no to things that they were saying yes to. I pray, Lord, for those that you purified their tongue just right now, that there come a new discipline to speak words of life, not words of death. I pray, Lord, for your healing grace to saturate every heart in the name of Jesus. Amen. We have some people up here that are going to be praying. If you have further need of prayer, let's go ahead and love on each other, give some hugs out, and grab your kids. Open the floodgate. Oh, there.